social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective is recorded in WPFW Studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW Washington.
To Heal DC. This is Joni, and Chuck won't be with us today. He's in Louisiana visiting his mom, who's had recently had surgery, so we sending our blessings and love. We are going to be spending much of this hour, or pretty much all of the hour, talking about not only the ongoing genocide in Gaza, but what is happening on our campuses around the country, including right here at GW, where we'll be hearing some reports from GW ongoing power that they are exhibiting and commitment to ending this genocide in our name. Later on in the program, we'll be hearing from a musician, Palestinian musician Fawad Fatih, who presented at the Friday night encampment rally there at GW and is also an activist. We're proud to have Graylin Hagler on with us for much of definitely the first half hour. Maybe he'll stay with us for the whole hour. And we're going to be hearing a statement from a GW suspended student within this broadcast. We're going to start out by welcoming Medea Benjamin. First of all, welcome, Graylin. Good morning. And we're starting with Medea Benjamin, who has at least two very important reports. Those of you who listen to Democracy Now! Heard some of it, but she's going to give us a little bit more detail, and I'm sure she'll also have words to say about what's happening around the country and at GW. So, Medea, welcome. Many of us were thinking about you and the others who were scheduled to go on that Freedom Flotilla, providing food and other important things to the people in Gaza. But, of course, that was stopped. So we want you to share what happened and also tell us what happened on Saturday evening. But let's start out with the Freedom Flotilla. Welcome, Medea.
Well, thank you so much, Joni and Graylin. Great to be on with you. I want to say that the Freedom Flotilla attracted hundreds and hundreds of people from around the world, 40 different countries, to go to Istanbul with the idea of getting on these ships, one of which was a humanitarian cargo ship carrying 5,500 tons of desperately needed goods, and the other a passenger ship. And knowing that there was tremendous risks, because in 2010 there had been an Israeli attack on one of these Freedom Flotilla boats that left 10 people dead. Despite that, all of these people came to Turkey with the intention of getting on these boats. But unfortunately, there were pressures from Israel and the United States that made the Turkish government hesitant. But in the last instance, it was the government of Guinea-Bissau that had provided the flag that the ships were going to fly under that at the last minute pulled those flags. and meant that our ships couldn't go. Now, this is not the end. We're still trying to make this work. But in the meantime, the internationals, for the most part, have returned home, but are willing to come back again as soon as we get the okay.
Mm. And that ship would have provided food for how many people? Quite a number.
Well, it's over 100 truckloads worth of food. So it's a tremendous amount of cargo. And it also included medicines that are so desperately needed now that so many of the hospitals have been destroyed and so many of the medical supplies have been destroyed. So to think that the U.S. and Israel have this tremendous power to put pressure on governments from Asia to Africa, like Guinea-Bissau, shows the long reach of the Israeli project and how sad it is that people simply wanted to deliver humanitarian aid have been blocked from doing so.
Absolutely. And then tell us what happened Saturday night. That's also quite a disturbing occurrence.
Well, Saturday night was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which many of the journalists in Gaza had asked the media to boycott. But despite that, there were thousands of journalists and other members of the press who came to the dinner. And as you can imagine, they were greeted by many, many protesters who were calling them out for their terrible reporting on this, for going to a White House dinner where there would be jokes about the state of the world and eating well at a time when people in Gaza are starving. So the protests outside were and they included the vests of journalists that have died with their names, and the people going to the party had to step over these vests. There was also a beautiful, huge banner of the Palestinian flag that we unfurled from the 10th floor of the Hilton Hotel. I was with my partner, Tig Barry, when we were standing as they were leaving with a sign that simply said, 100 press killed in Gaza. And the security for the hotel and for the event came rushing to us and started here. And we said, well, we actually have a hotel room here. We can be here. And they dragged us. They pulled us. They hauled us down some stairs. We were lying on the floor yelling out, help, help, to the journalists as they walked by. And perhaps the saddest thing about all of this is that not one journalist stopped, even out of curiosity, to see what was going on, much less out of a humane response to help people who were in trouble. And we were saying, we're being assaulted for our First Amendment right to free speech. Help, help. Not a one of them. So that's what happened to us on Saturday night.
And Medea, you were was badly injured. I mean, thankfully not that badly, but I saw a photo of what your leg, and it was no small thing.
Absolutely, I was badly injured. And one other thing I want to add, Joni, is that there were three people that were standing in the lobby at the same time who had a sign that said "Stand with Ukraine." And we're holding Ukraine flags, and nobody bothered them. Mm. They were allowed to stand there the entire time. So if you have something that talks about Palestine, you get assaulted and beaten up and thrown out and banned. I had to sign a piece of paper saying I wouldn't go back to that hotel for 5 years for holding this piece of paper. But if you're there for Ukraine or, you know, something that the U.S. government is in favor of, then you are fine.
And that gash I saw looked pretty big. So they did more than just push you around.
Well, I was dragged down the stairs, and as I said, we were on the floor, and they were literally beating on us. I mean, it was very, very violent. Mm. They were so violent with us for holding a piece of paper, and my partner had a T-shirt on that said "Let Gaza Live." One would think that the journalists there would be appalled and would be writing about this and would have filmed this. And there were some that did film it, and I haven't seen any of that film that has come out, which is also pretty astounding.
Wow. And we have Graylin Hagler on with us, too, and we're going to jump in a moment into talking about the GW encampment and the protests of the students around the country. But before we move into that, Graylin, did you want to comment or say anything about what happened Saturday night with Medea or about the Freedom Flotilla?
Yeah, I think Medea sort of expressed it very well. There's a clear double standard in terms of world conflict. Ukraine is sanctioned. Palestine is not. And that's part of the problem, is that folks refuse to look at the facts and the issues that are glaring us in the face, that there is a genocide in Gaza. And Medea was penalized for trying to lift up the truth.
Absolutely. And Medea, we're thankful that you're safe. I had been thinking a lot about you last week as I imagined you on that ship. And so we are glad. We pray for you, and we pray and have positive thoughts for everybody out there in those streets, including you and including Graylin.
Well, Joni, isn't it ironic that while I was prepared for being beaten up by the Israeli occupation forces boarding our ship, I wasn't prepared to get beat up at a White House dinner that's celebrating free speech.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. And that is this so-called free country that we reside in. And I know Medea and many of us are very proud of the students that are out there, not only the students, but I will say our ancestors, some of our ancestors who were out there. I can say my mom was out there as a student activist way, way back in the 30s and 40s. So we're proud. We're very, very proud of the risks and the commitment that these students have. I was thankful and happy to see Medea at the encampment at GW Friday evening. I was a little surprised, but I was glad that she was there. In a moment, we're going to hear from a statement from one of the students who was suspended. Medea, can you stay on with us for a little longer?
Well, I'm actually in Congress,
so you need
I better sign off. But I did want to say how proud I am of those students and how beautiful the encampment has been. And I love the way they talk to the supporters there about saying, we're trying to create at this encampment the world we want to live in, where people get along with each other, where they share food, where they share water, where they work together, where they educate each other. It's a really beautiful atmosphere. And the last thing I want to say is that there was a sign that really warmed my heart that said that we've got to stop the war machine, and that students understand that this is a larger struggle that is to demilitarize our world. And I'm so thankful that there are so many young people that are now active and hopefully will be active for many years to come. So thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you, Medea, and stay safe. And we'll see you out there those rallies.
And
we're going to come to Graylin in a moment, but I thought Graylin would want to hear what one of the seven suspended students had to say. And this is dedicated to WPFW listeners.
Hi, Joni. Thank you so much for having me on your radio show today. I am, as you may be able to hear, I'm speaking from the Palestine Solidarity Encampment at George Washington University, which is now on its fifth day. As of this moment, George Washington University has suspended 7 students for their participation in this encampment, for daring to speak out against the ongoing genocide of the Palestinian people and our university's institutional and material ties to it. Our university claims to support freedom of expression and activism while suppressing those students who actively confront the university's complicity in oppression, in militarism, in genocide, and ethnic cleansing. Students like those in the encampment who exercise their right to denounce the ongoing genocide of Gaza are targeted with aggressive doxing, militant police presence, racist harassment, and persistent academic suppression. Simultaneously, the university claims it does so because our actions violate the supposed safety of community members. This begs the question, which community members are we disturbing? Whose community is disturbed by those who advocate for an end to an ongoing genocide? It is certainly not mine. And that is the critical point. Our community is a diverse coalition of Palestinians, Arabs, Muslims, Jews, and so many others who recognize the need to forcefully confront our institution's complicity in genocide. Those individuals who are disturbed are genocide supporters. Unfortunately, and unsurprisingly, many of them are Zionist Jewish students. The university will often, in sweeping fashion, invoke the safety of Jewish students on campus in order to justify their suppression of pro-Palestinian activism on campus. So I speak to you today as a Jewish student who rejects this mischaracterization of our protest. When our university claims they are protecting Jewish students, they mean Zionist Jewish students. Take it from me, a Jewish student, suspended alongside 6 of my peers for speaking out against Zionism. Is this protection? Is this safety? I have been frustrated that I must repeatedly center my Jewish identity and whiteness to legitimize our collective calls for liberation, to convince the Western world that Palestinians under siege deserve a voice, deserve safety, protection, and the right to breathe life. I ask those Zionist Jewish students, if seeing or hearing the phrase "from the river to the sea" makes you feel unsafe, how might Palestinian students feel when their friends and relatives are killed by Israel every single day? How about those who are made unsafe through academic sanctions which only serve to fortify the escalating international desecration of the right to free speech and protest on college campuses? It does absolutely nothing to protect Jewish students, especially those of us who denounce Israel's genocidal state project. Myself, alongside my peers, will not leave this encampment until our university divests from genocide, and I hope that those of you listening will not stop speaking out until Palestine is free. To support our encampment, join us on 8th Street Northwest between 20th and 21st Street, where we will be rallying, singing, chanting, dancing, and sharing love and solidarity in spite of our university's attempts to quell us into silence. To demand our university unsuspend our student organizers, you can send emails to our administration by going to tinyurl.com/demandsforgwadm. And if you are willing and able to support our encampment financially, you can bring donations to the encampment or Venmo at Solidarity Support. Thank you for listening. Joni, thank you so much for having me on. Free Palestine. Thank you.
Okay, that was a young student, one of 6 other students who have been suspended. That means they lose their most of their rights there at so-called rights at GW. And I'm so glad that Graylin could be on with us this morning. I know you were out there too at GW. Share with the listeners your thoughts and your feelings as you were out there in that encampment.
Yeah, thank you, Joni. Very strong engagement. Very proud of the students who are basically standing firm and lifting up the issues around divestment, financial transparency, ceasefire, They continue to be beacons of hope. And I think that we can look all over the country. And we see right now that campuses are emerging as centers of protest, lifting up this issue. One of the things that is very disingenuous is that they want to talk about the student protests as being anti-Semitic because they may question the policies of Israel. They're not talking about Jews or Judaism. They're talking about a country and its apartheid policies. Just like when we were talking and advocating against apartheid in South Africa. We weren't talking necessarily about people and their religions or their ethnicities. We were talking about the policies of a country. And that's the same thing right now. So the Zionists have tried to stretch the definitions of anti-Semitism to try to incorporate any criticism of Israel into that category. It's disingenuous. It's not real. It's an attempt to try to quell criticism. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to continue to stand strong.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are indeed very proud of those students all over the country. And I'm sure Graylin and I will both encourage you listeners, go to check out that GW encampment. Even those of you who may think you're old or may have aches and pains, you can stand there for 15 minutes and get a lot out of it. Or you can stand there for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours and really be inspired. You can easily get there. Those of you like me who take the metro, get off at the Foggy Bottom stop. It's about 3 blocks away, the GW yard on H Street. And you can go there anytime, morning, noon, or in the middle of the night. I know they were out there last night till at least 2 or 3 in the morning. Apparently, there were some issues going on, but the students won that little encounter with the police last night. But it's very, very, very inspiring to go out there. You'll see all kinds of young people out there sitting down, standing up. And they are committed to ending this genocide. And Graylin, I don't know if you know, but the students and others are asking people to speak up and defend these students, especially the ones who are suspended. And I don't know that I have exactly the information of how to do it. But perhaps we can get it by the end of the show, what people can do to speak up. I'm sure you can call GW and others to demand that these students not be suspended for standing up for people not to be slaughtered, for a group of people not to have genocide committed on them. That's what these students are doing. And for that, their rights are being taken away to continue their education, so-called education at GW. They've lost their food, their meal ticket. Many of them, mostly all of them, Steph and I think, have lost their housing there at GW. I'm not sure if they're allowed to even go to classes. I know that some of them, and I didn't give the name of the young man who spoke, but I know that some of them are having all-day meetings today to see what additional discipline is going to be put up against them. And, of course, in other cities around the country, I think it was Emory, just very horrific violence against these students. So this is the country where we live in, and we're going to stand and fight until we turn this around so people have a right to live. And we're going to hear in a moment from, maybe we can play that now, a statement from a brother from Atlanta, who a Muslim brother who has something to say about these students as well. Well, that'll be coming right up.
Bismillah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, Alhamdulillah. We here at the National Jericho Movement to free all political prisoners, in the Spirit of Mandela Coalition to build a People's Senate, in the Jamaat of the Sheikh Ouf Mandan Folio. We want to express to everybody, to the world, our unwavering support and solidarity with our brave, brave students on the college campuses of the United States of America that are protesting and demonstrating against the genocide of our sisters and brothers in the Gaza, that are demonstrating against the United States' complicity by sending billions of dollars, our tax dollars, to kill sisters and brothers, to kill human beings, to kill women and children in another country. And this is the history and pattern. We're going to stop that. It is our right as the First Amendment, but let me tell you something. If there was no First Amendment, it is our right as human beings, humanity, our God-given right to stand for justice. And that's what we intend to do. That's what we intend to do. We're calling on everybody to support our sisters and brothers on the college campuses, because when we say all power to the people, we mean that we have to get the masses of the people out in the street to disrupt the normalcy of oppression. Because if it wasn't for this disruption, then we would still be on a slave plantation today. So disruption is a good word when it comes to dismantling oppression, repression, exploitation, racism, and genocide. Disruption is the word. That is the order of the day. And we stand resolute in support of that. We're asking Allah's guidance, because victory is with the Creator and the Creator alone. We're going to all do the best that we can. We give our unwavering support. All power to the people. Assalamu alaikum.
All power to the people, indeed. And that was Jihad Abdul Mumit from, I think he's from Atlanta. And Mikey, you can play a little bit of that music now, and I'll ask Graylin for his comments as we move forward. Okay, and that was the music from a musician and a Palestinian activist we're going to be hearing from in about a few minutes. Graylin, any other comments you want to make about the students and how people can support them, and anything else you'd like to say?
I think that people need to bombard the president's office at George Washington University, demanding that all charges be dropped against these students and that they be readmitted. I think that's one thing that we can do.
Absolutely.
The other thing that's important to, I think, lift up is that the presidents of these colleges and universities are so afraid of this right-wing Christian Zionist Congress that they're willing to step all over freedom of speech and the right to protest and to clamp down on what is not considered sanctioned speech at this point. If you look at it, Netanyahu recently said that what was going on in colleges and universities in the U.S. was tantamount to what was going on in Nazi Germany before the Holocaust. And people are following that ahistorical line, because this has nothing to do with that. They've tried to make the equation that what's going on colleges, college campuses is equivalent to what took place in Charlottesville, and Unite the Right. There is no relationship. In fact, it is the opposite. because these students are not spewing hate. They're talking about justice. They're talking about rightness. They're talking about a proper balance, the discussion and the debate. And right now, when students talk about financial transparency, they know that Zionists who have helped to fund these schools are making demands that Palestinian rights not be tolerated on the campuses of these colleges and universities. Just the other morning, on CNBC, was Kraft. They're talking about the anti-Semitism on the campuses. And they thanked folks for allowing the Zionists to be on and to have the morning. It just shows you the racism that's afoot. Mm-hmm. And that we actually are engaged in a struggle against white supremacy, just like we've struggled in this country and we continue to struggle, just like we struggled in South Africa. 30 years ago, the chains of apartheid in South Africa fell off because people struggled mm-hmm. to shake them off. Today, right now, we can do no less, because this is another manifestation of white supremacy that has to be challenged.
Absolutely. And of course, white supremacy goes right along with capitalism and colonialism. They're all linked together. White supremacy, I believe, is a tool of the capitalist system and colonialism to make sure that as much money is made by those weapons manufacturers by killing people, that the land in the region can be controlled by the United States because of the oil and other things that will benefit them financially. So they all go hand in hand, white supremacy, capitalism, colonialism, and the students are standing up to demand no genocide in our name. Graylin, you are free to hang with us as we go into our next final half hour. We're going to be speaking with, and perhaps he can introduce himself now to make sure I don't mispronounce his name.
Right. Hi, how are you, Joni? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, just share your... Tell us how you say your name, and introduce yourself. And before we bring you on for a discussion, we're also going to play another clip. But tell us who you are. We're so glad to have you with us.
Right, my name is Fouad Foti, Foty, Fouad Foti, and I'm local to DC. I've been in DC for many years. I should call myself a native DC guy, really. So we've been in DC for over 30 years now, and we've been struggling also for all of the injustices, you know, Palestinians injustices, African American injustices, you know, of course now the spotlight on Palestine. We want to make sure that Palestine gets liberated. I have no doubt that it will be. It's the end of the beginning of the end of Zionism. They're just going crazy. And I think music, I've been playing music for a long, long time. And just being at the encampment there just brought me, took me back to the times when I was at Michigan State University and we were doing similar things, and also reminding everyone about the apartheid system and how Michigan State divested from South Africa. I was the first university to do that, and that's a school that I went to. So we want that to happen to all the schools in America, especially the one, you know, the one that I went to the past 3 days and played music there.
Yes, and you have Palestinian roots, correct?
Of course. I was born in Ramallah, Palestine, and I came here when I was 13 years old. I've been here ever since. So we were kicked out of our homeland. So I was depressed. I was like a teenager in the middle of Houston, Texas, actually. And music was the only thing that kind of tied me up and kind of made me feel good about Palestine. And it soothed me up. And so what I decided to do is embrace that throughout my life. And I've been doing that. I taught my kids, and I have a music school that I actually teach music and promote, you know, the things that I really want to promote, especially, you know, like teaching people to sing for Palestine, to sing for Gaza, and to create more of a community where, you know, we can grow that community to become a big movement. So I'm doing my little part here, and I hope it makes a difference in the big picture, you know, so.
And it certainly has. When I heard you Friday night at the GW encampment, and I think you played for way over an hour, it was extremely inspiring, and hopefully you can play a little bit for us this morning. But it was more than inspiring, doesn't even capture it, because just listening to the music, it's part of the struggle to turn this around. And before we continue on, I'm going to squeeze in another clip. Today or tomorrow, perhaps, is the last day of Passover that many Jews celebrate. It's really supposed to be, and it is, a day for freedom for all people. And I'm going to play a short statement from the D.C. chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, what they have to say, what she has to say about Passover this year.
Hi, I'm a member of Jewish Voice for Peace DC, and I have a message from our chapter to share with all of you. This Passover, we cannot hold our seders as usual. We cannot ignore the fact that during this holiday of feasting and togetherness, Israel inflicts violence, separation, starvation, and death on the people of Gaza and occupied Palestine. So the mood can't be festive, and the Passover story of Exodus can't be retold as just a historical one, or as something unique to Jews. On this year's Passover, the Jewish holiday of freedom, we are called to step up our commitment to the liberation of the Palestinian people, as well as our reclamation of Jewish tradition from Zionism. We engage with our ancient traditions on our own terms as anti-Zionist Jews, and in service of this commitment, centering the people suffering across Gaza and occupied Palestine, and recommitting to a Judaism that seeks freedom for all. Since October, JVP has intensified its ongoing activism. Our members have blockaded Lockheed Martin headquarters, marched through the streets of DC, made countless calls to our representatives, organized anti-Zionist Shabbat services and Passover seders centering Gaza, supported students at the George Washington University encampment, and more. We hope to help build this movement opposing the genocide in Gaza, pressure our government to push for a ceasefire, and show the world that Jews are among the many who support Palestinian liberation. We organize our people and resist Zionism not only as an act of solidarity with Palestinians, but also because we are committed to creating the Jewish futures we all deserve. We are fighting for a thriving, pluralistic Judaism and for the future of the Jewish people, just as we fight for the liberated future of the Palestinian people and the liberated futures of all peoples.
So thank you. That was the local chapter, DC chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace. And this year there are anti-Zionist, anti-genocide seders, which is what is the meal that celebrates Passover. Many anti-Zionist seders going on across the country, including last week in New York City. They had an outside seder. They're going to have a couple here in D.C. tonight and tomorrow. And at the New York City one, they had a big, big round plate representing the Passover plate that basically said an end to the genocide in Gaza, and none of us are free until all of us are free. And that indeed is the true spirit of Passover. Again, we're joined by Graylin Hagler is here with us for the rest of the hour, together with Fawud Foti. Is that correct? Fawud Foti, who is a Palestinian and a musician. And I had the honor and pleasure of meeting him Friday night at the GW encampment. So continue, Fawud. It was you had a lot of power and inspiration that you gave us Friday night at that encampment. People were just, I don't even know what words to use to express how much hope and strength that you gave us by hearing the music. Do you feel like sharing something now, or would you, whatever you want to do, play your instrument? And what are the names of the instruments that you played on Friday night? Well, we can't hear you.
It's basically, it's called Daoud, O-U-D, or sometimes referred to U-D, but it's, or lute, L-U-T. So this instrument dates way back, I would say, over 1,000 years or so. Wow. And the guitar was not even wasn't even there, like, before 300 years or so. But so this is the mother of the guitar, you could say. It was, and it has like five double strings and then one, a bass string at the top. So, and it has a rich sound. Of course, you heard it at the encampment there. You could basically play anything, kind of like the violin. It has a small neck. And then you could do many ornamentation with it and so on. So it is the instrument that is used in the Arab world, at least, to compose music, actually. So and it has, I don't know whether you'll hear it, but... So this is the sound of it. A lot of the notes that are played in the Palestinian struggle, it has a quarter tone sound, which is not on a piano string, piano instrument or guitar for that matter. So it's right in between. Like, I don't know if you're a musician or whoever musicians are out there, we look at like semitones, but which is an exact half, which is exactly like the keys between on the piano. You have the black and the white keys. So there are notes right in between that. And so it doubles the number of notes. And we typically, the smallest interval in music would be a quarter as opposed to a half. So we can include half or two halves, which is quarter and two quarters, which is a half. So we can, in the world of quarters, we incorporate the world of halves, if you know what I mean. And so we tend to play around with that, and it has a very rich sound. For example... كل الناس عند بيوت ليش احنا يا بابا لا بيت. So basically this song I sang at the encampment where I said all the people in the world have homes. Why, Father, don't we have a home ourselves? So we're basically pointing the spotlight on what's happening in Gaza. So, and so it has, you know, a rhythm called Baladi where everyone can just have a clap, two claps followed by one clap. So I had the entire people who are listening to me go like two, one, two, and then one, one, two, and then one. And so it brought in, everyone was connected, and something about Arabic music, that it is, it's really live, you know, so everyone listening to, the listeners become part of the song. So if you play the same song on two different days, it's really two different songs, right? Unless they are exactly the same people. So music connects people very, very much. It makes people, music is a universal language. We all know that. And for Arabic music in specific and Palestinian music, you have kind of to set the stage, kind of roll the carpet down in order to get to the song. So you will probably hear me saying, Layalil hana ilma sneen minoud wa darik ya Palestin hanin oud. So singing something like that is called zajal or mawawil or an improv before the song, and it typically excites the people, especially the Arab ones who knows the lyrics of and the words of that. It says I would like to go back to Palestine. So it reminds them of what Palestine was and how they had a home and how they would love to go back to that home, okay? So it's that yearning of going back. So that's typically the gist of what I tried to do in the encampment is kind of engage the people to kind of sing along, even though they might not know what it means. I did explain a little bit in general what the words are, but then they were actually enjoying the beat and the music, and they were clapping along. Absolutely. And many people who are non-Arabic speakers came up to me, and they were they really did enjoy it, which made me feel good, because for the Arabic speakers, you know, I'm they already know some of this, but to know that the non-Arabic speaker enjoyed it, that made me feel good.
Yes, and it wasn't just enjoying as one word, but I think that we felt the spirit which that music represents, the spirit of pain, the spirit of suffering, the spirit of hope. And it was very, very inspiring. And will you be coming back to the encampment at GW?
Of course. I went 3 days in a row.
Wow.
I think it was, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And even my sister in Jordan saw it on the media and so on. So she mentioned, hey, why don't you make it more lively and so on. I told her, yeah, we need to make it lively, but also we are suffering. You know, the people of Gaza are suffering. So there is somber songs and there are also upbeat songs. But the main objective here was to uplift the spirit, you know, of everyone who is there, especially the people who are, in those tents, and many of them came up and said, "Wow, this is what we really need. We need to uplift our spirits so we can stay there as long as possible, until the university basically divests from this Zionist state." You know, that's what we want.
Yes, and speaking of divesting, one of my major regrets, the chants there at the encampment are so powerful. And I did my best to tape them, but it didn't quite work out. I'm going to try to get some younger folks to help. And we really should be airing those chants throughout WPFW's airwaves, because the chants themselves are, they're music, but they're a call to action. And just one example of the words, disclose, divest, we will not stop, we will not rest. And that's repeated over and over again. Disclose, divest, we will not stop, we will not rest. a lot of very, very powerful chants there. So right. That's part of the music and part of the spirit that you'll hear when you come to the encampments. And Fahud, if people are interested in your music school, can you mm-hmm. share that?
Yeah, it's called Quarter Tones Music. We're actually in Northwest DC, right near the Tenleytown Metro Station at the Armenian Church there. And we've been there for a while. We're the only Arabic music school, actually, in the Northeast. I think I don't know of any other ones. But we have also, I mean, we teach all different instruments as well. My daughter is an opera singer and so on. But what I tried to do there is that build more of a community. People come in, learn the oud. Actually, half of my students are non-Arabs, you know, who even Jewish students come to me. I just make sure that they are not Zionist, you know, that's the only thing. And everyone is benefiting. I try to create sub ensembles, you know, of different, like four at a time. And we have different events and so on. And what I want to keep it, like the last showcase performance of our students was all about Gaza, because we could not, you know, it's not like a celebration of anything, because we wanted to commemorate the deaths of so many children and women who got slaughtered there by the IDF. So we had, a somber dance. We had, and all of the students learned the nationalistic Palestinian songs that they sang at the school. And I want to promote that even more. At the school, there is many, many people who are coming in order to participate and do that. Yeah.
Yes. And we have about five more minutes left. I want to ask Graylin to jump in. Let me just quickly make some announcements we need to make. First of all, I want to thank Magic Mike for all his help. And we want to remind people that Wednesday is May Day, International May Day, celebrated all around the world, except mostly not in the United States, because it's too radical, even though it started here in the United States. And this year, the theme for May Day is in solidarity with Gaza and Palestine. So it's very important that we keep our hearts and ears open and participate in May Day activities. I believe that here on WPFW, I think from 2 to 6, there's going to be a special on May Day brought to you in solidarity with WBAI for 4 hours at 7 p.m. at the Washington Ethical Society. The D.C. Labor Chorus is having a May Day concert. That's on 16th Street. For ticket information, you can go to laborheritage.org. That's Wednesday, 7 p.m., D.C. Labor Chorus May Day concert. May Day, I think, on WPFW from 2 to 6 p.m. We usually do have a commemoration of May Day. For those of you who do not know the history of May Day, that is your assignment from us here at WPFW to make sure that the people that were, the workers that were killed. And actually, off the top of my head now, I forget what year it was. Graylin, maybe you know, but it is our holiday, a holiday that is rooted in American, United States workers demanding good treatment and 8-hour workday and safe work environments for all workers this year in solidarity with the workers of Gaza. So we have a few more minutes to finish up with Fahud and with Graylin. This show is in support of the students around the country standing up against genocide. And we're speaking with our own Graylin Hagler, who has been an advocate for Palestinian Gaza for decades, right, Graylin? For quite a while, you've taken many people, ministers and more, to Gaza over the decades. And Fahud Fauti, who is a musician, and has his roots in Palestine, out there at the encampments at GW. And Fawood, when might you be there again? Can you share that?
Or I am going to try to come as many times as I need to make sure, you know, they can put me on the schedule there. They told me I can come anytime, so hopefully I'll be in this week, definitely maybe either Wednesday or Friday, but I'll have to, yeah, so Wednesday, probably in the evening, and Friday.
Yes, and of course you can come there, and if you're hopefully you'll be there when Fawood plays, and I was thankful to hear him. I don't know, Graylin, if you got a chance to hear him when you were there, but any, if you did, or any final words you wanted to say about supporting the students, and perhaps repeat what listeners can do to demand that the students who have been suspended at GW are no longer suspended.
Sure. Let me just say this, Brother Fawood, as you lift up your music, it reminded me of Duke Ellington's song, Come Sunday.
Mm. Yes.
Basically it says, look down and see my people through. Because it is not a lamentation, but we talk about our struggle to gain the strength.
Yes.
Not only for today, but for tomorrow and for the duration until victory is won. Thank you for your music.
Thank you, Reverend Hagler. I've been listening to you for years now, and I thank you for everything that you have been doing for the Palestinian cause and for the African-American cause. And we're brothers, you know, and we should continue to stay that way and continue the struggle against injustice.
Absolutely. And of course, today is Duke Ellington's birthday. He would have been 125 today. I'm sorry, we have about 30 seconds left. Graylin, I wanted to ask if I would also go out with some music.
Right. I just want to say very quickly that this is the same struggle.
Yes.
One and the same.
Absolutely.
It's against domination. It's against people who feel entitled and privileged to do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
We stand as resistance to that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's hear some resistance music. I want to thank again Graylin and Fawood.
Okay, so would you like me to play?
Yes, yes, we only have a few seconds left.
Okay.
It takes volunteers to keep jazz and justice alive in the DMV. And WPFW is in need of listeners' participation in our spring membership drive by answering phones and entering data from May 12th through the 25th. It's a fun opportunity to meet WPFW's staff and WPFW's host of your favorite shows.
Are you a student in need of community service? Or a member of an organization that loves volunteering? If so, we're calling on you. You can contact our volunteer coordinator, Vinnie Jack, at volunteers@wpfw.org or call at 202-588-0999, extension 360. Show your love for WPFW by volunteering today. Thank you.
The best in live music entertainment is coming this spring to Bethesda Theater. Also coming is Trouble Funk, featuring go-go legend Big Tony, celebrating his birthday by performing all their go-go classics on Friday, May 3rd at 9 p.m. And on Mother's Day, it's Howard Hewitt performing his own popular songs and those by Shalimar, for two shows on Sunday, May 12th at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Whisperers on April 26th and 27th, Trouble Funk featuring Big Tony on May 3rd, and Howard Hewitt on Mother's Day, May 12th. Get more information on all shows at BethesdaTheater.com. WPFW is a proud media partner with Bethesda Theater.
International Jazz Day was established in 2011 by the United Nations to highlight the global art form recognized for promoting peace, dialogue among cultures, diversity, and respect for human rights, and promoting freedom of expression. In that spirit, WPFW presents Jazz Resistance and Liberation, the Global Impact of a National Treasure, to commemorate International Jazz Day. On Tuesday, April 30th, extraordinary jazz hosts Candy Shannon, Craig Williams, and Willard Jenkins celebrate the music's power as a democratic and liberatory medium.